As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a handbrake off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic. So here it is, the last 10 games of the season, and we'll be talking about that and what we need to do. We'll also look back on Arsenal women's brilliant victory over Bayern Munich, 2-1 on aggregate. Art de Roche and Adrian Clark are here with me. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Before we talk about those things, Arsene Wenger was inducted into the Premier League's Hall of Fame, him and Sir Alex Ferguson together, which sort of seemed right, really. Naturally, we think that he should have a statue outside the Emirates as well, when that does happen, and it probably is a when. What stance should the designer sculpt him in? He's got a number of possibilities. Adrian, what do you think, Arsene Wenger?
Obviously, it's the beach pose in Rio, isn't it? That's the best one, isn't it? Can you imagine? It could double up as some kind of bench as well. You know,
Arsene that people can just fit at 72 or whatever he is now.
That'd be a good one. Alternative, obviously fiddling with his coat. You know, that would be an apt one as well. Yeah, but no,
not fitting.
I have a fitting one, but I'll listen to what Art wants to say first before I give you my fitting.
Go on, Art.
I guess everyone would probably just go to the Old Trafford stance, which they made him do for the photo shoot. But I think for me, the picture where he's at the Emirates where it's still being built and he's wearing a hard hat and he has his foot on the ball, I think that would be quite a more fitting one than
that's nice. I quite like that. I do quite like that, actually. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But Old Trafford with his arms open. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because you don't really want to be reminded of 8-2, no. Do you? Really?
That wasn't the 8-2, to be fair.
Wasn't that the 8-2?
It was the Arshavin game. So it was 2-1.
I was at that game. Is that really not the 8-2? The arms wide open.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, then we still lost. Though, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be White Hart Lane. It's got to be White Hart Lane where his arms are aloft, very high, like that. When we won the title there.
I have to say, Adrian is doing the arms aloft right now for people listening, which is absolutely everyone because we don't do the visual thing. Adrian is doing the pose. But I think there should be a way of pointing to the fact that there's absolutely no sweat either because it's a dangerous move on a warm day to lift your arms high up in the air, but there was no sweat at all because that's what it was like when we used to go to Spurs, absolutely no sweat. even though we didn't win that game. I'm correcting that one out. I know you're
I think you are.
Yeah. That was the 2. Oh, I was wondering about him down on his haunches, sort of slowly picking at a water bottle. You know, how he used to do when it got really frustrated. But yeah, I have to say, I agree with Adrian. I think that one with a trophy. Perhaps it'll happen soon enough. Anyway, it was good. It was if you haven't seen it, it's a 5-minute Premier League film. Wright is in it. Patrick Vieira, a couple of the others. Some pretty funny moments. We want our Mars bars back.
The way we were playing, the way we were eating, the way we were training, everything that we were doing, he changed
They chanted in the on the bus, we want our Mars bars.
Yes, they wanted the chocolate back on the bus.
All of that was gone.
Abandoned all.
We will talk about Arsenal women in the second half of the show. We do have a game. Arsenal men have a game Saturday. Arsenal against Leeds. 10 games to go, guys. 10 games to go. I mean, I was thinking about this, Art. I was thinking about how it's about rising to the challenge at this point, isn't it, really? I mean, we can talk about Leeds. And obviously, we're first, they're 14th. They haven't won a game in a while, or if they have...
They won their last game, Stoney.
All right, they won... Sorry, I'll take that back. They won their last game, so they're coming in on a run of form, essentially. But they're not that good. They're 14th. Normally, in a normal situation, first would beat 14th at home every time. But, Art, do you think it'll... I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem to have got to them so far, but are they going to be nervous now?
I don't think so, not just yet. I think, as you say, you just kind of have to go as you've been going on for the whole season, basically. And we've seen what encouraged me most going into the international break was the second halves of the Palace and Fulham games were very reminiscent to earlier in the season where they just had almost total control of games and didn't look emotional. So that's kind of given me a bit more encouragement ahead of the return of Premier League action. But again, as you say, it comes down to how they apply themselves mostly. We know if they turn up and play their football, they should be all right. And I think, yeah, I'm just looking forward to it all kicking off again, basically.
Yeah, I feel very much the same way. Adrian, I was talking about this sort of gathering ourselves, really. I mean, in this situation, I mean, you haven't played in a team in a title race, no. But in this situation, you do have to gather yourself, don't you? They've got 10 games to go, but they're just thinking about Leeds, right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're in that kind of sweet spot, aren't they, where they know that they've been the best team in the Premier League this season. They know that they're in good form and know the fans are on side. It's a lovely time to go out there and play your football in front of 60,000 or, you know, 57,000 of your own people. And I think they'll be really looking forward to it. We will be more nervous than the players, I suspect.
The fans?
Yeah, I think so. You know, just because it's by nature, I think supporters get a little bit edgier than those involved. I'm quite emotionally invested in this game because I'm taking my two little ones, Evie and Ted, to their first ever match.
Wow.
This weekend. So there's a bit of pressure. We can't muck up. We got to win this one.
Otherwise, they can't go again. I mean, exactly. That is the rules, isn't it? You know, we love them and everything. Obviously, yeah. I've never met them, but I love them through you loving them. But, you know, if anything happens this weekend, you've got to keep them away.
Them's the rules.
I won't be able to get them another ticket this season anyway. No,
that's doesn't matter. Okay.
Six and five. They're 6-5, but what's the cutest thing about it is that I came down early today to do a bit of work, a bit of prep for today. And Evie came down first and she said, Daddy, how many more sleeps till we go to Arsenal? I was like, oh, it's two, just two more sleeps. And about 15 minutes later, Ted comes bursting down, goes, Daddy, how many more sleeps till we go to Arsenal? So they hadn't confirmed, yeah. But it was the first thing on their mind. So they're unbelievably excited. And hopefully we can go out and deliver.
That will be something that I'm excited for them. I mean, genuinely, when you take kids the first time to football, especially on a season like this. I mean, Adrian, you're talking about the fans. I mean, they've also got to raise themselves now, haven't they? I mean, I sort of feel, I've ever told you, I remember sitting next to Martin Keown once on a radio show and Gabby Logan, who was presenting it, asked him about what it was like when he was preparing for the Man United games. And Martin got into the mindset and he was talking about it in that way that he does. And I felt the energy coming off him. I didn't even need to look at him. I could just feel these waves of energy coming off him as he was gathering himself. I've used that phrase before, but basically getting himself together. I sort of feel the fans have to do the same thing. We have to be on point for these next 10 games, don't we? Particularly the five home games.
We do. Yeah. I think, yeah. Why wouldn't the supporters be on their A game? This is the moment we've all been waiting for a generation, isn't it? It's a long, long time since we've been in this kind of position. So, yeah. And I think all of us on this show, all of the, you know, regular people that speak on this podcast, we're all of the same mindset as the majority of the supporters, and that is, let's enjoy the ride and let's be super positive and get behind the team, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we know the away fans, that connection that they have with the players, it's incredible. But I think, you know, we've got five home games, winnable home games, although there's a couple of toughies in there, I think, Brighton particularly and Chelsea. But if we win our five home games, we've got a good chance of trucka-trucka, as we say. And so, you know, the Emirates crowd has to be right on their game, don't they, from the first minute?
Definitely. I think, obviously, we've spoken about it quite a bit in the past, I'd say, year, going back to even the Man City game on New Year's Day last season, where I think that was the first time I really felt it. And yeah, the feeling is really hard to kind of put into words sometimes. But I remember, if we're talking this kind of stretch, Everton, they were really involved in that game. And people may not think Everton's the biggest game ever, but you can't forget how just almost energy sapping the first 40 minutes of that game were. And it almost seemed like the players had to be dragged through that first 40 minutes as well.
Yeah,
and I think that's where you see the impact the stadium can have. And I know we'll talk about this game later on, but you 100% felt it last night at the women's game as well. And yeah, I think you can just see in both teams how, I guess, important that connection is. And I don't think the home support will disappoint in the next few weeks, especially with how much of a clamour there is for tickets. So I think anyone who gets a ticket is going to feel lucky enough to be there and hopefully kind of transmit that energy onto the pitch.
It's a responsibility, Art, isn't it? It's a responsibility to sort of...
That's the point I'm making, Adrian. It is a responsibility. If we're going to go, you've got to be fully on board, because I mean, I know you say that obviously we should be and we will be and we'll be up for it, and the people who go will feel that responsibility. But I remember being at a game at the at Highbury years ago, and it was one of the games when we were brilliant. I think it might have been the Invincible season, and we were playing our football and it was fantastic. But I was chatting to my mate about something, and I noticed at that moment that loads of people were having these little chats and they weren't concentrating on the game. And we went 1-0 down. I think we won 5-1 in the end, right? But there was a definite feeling like we have to be involved. I mean, I genuinely feel like we should come away from these games absolutely as knackered as the players in the next one. I mean, I'm not joking, Adrian. I'm really not. And you know, as a player, how much that crowd means, how much difference it can make.
It can definitely put an extra spring in your step, for sure. And if a game is going flat, as they sometimes do, especially if a team wants to park the bus against you, then sometimes it needs an injection of something. And whether that's a tackle or a shot or just a bit of noise from the crowd, you just need to be jolted out of that stupor sometimes, don't you? So, yeah, no, the fans can be absolutely empowering to footballers. Don't underestimate your importance is the message, really.
No. And you make sure you convey that to the two children as well. Now, look, kids, I want full commitment, all right? Don't scare them, obviously, but I'm just saying. They need a stern word from Daddy,
they know,
right?
The songs.
Who's played.
They know the songs. I've taught
they know
them
the songs.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
They know, not the Conte one, I'm assuming, although we don't need that one now. Starting 11... I mean, all things being equal, basically the only real decision is between Gabriel Jesus and Leandro Trossard, right?
Yeah, because I'm not Mikel, I have no idea what he's going to do.
You're not Mikel, that is true. That is true. Art is not Mikel, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, none of us have any idea. What would you do, though?
I think it's a really difficult one. The reason I say that is just because we haven't seen what Jesus has been like in the past couple of weeks in the break. if he seems comfortable, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts him, because he started him against Sporting. I know he only played 45 minutes that game, but it just feels like, is there really any need to wait more? Especially if you can get him into a bit more sharpness before going to Liverpool. I think that could be helpful. But if he doesn't decide to do that, I'm absolutely fine with Leandro Trossard starting. So, and I think everyone is. So it's a good problem to have.
Adrian, I mean, it could be either, couldn't it? And you, and if he starts with Trossard and he does another three assists in the first half like he did against Fulham, you go, well, that's all right. That's a decent decision, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a kind of a win-win selection. Personally, I would start him. I think he can really elevate the team when he's on it. And that first half against Sporting, I thought he was tremendous. Really, really exciting performance. When he came off the bench at Fulham, was superb as well. So I would start him. It would be harsh on Trossard, but Trossard will have a part to play.
He knows the score as well, doesn't he? I mean, he joined knowing that he's joining a squad of high performance, high quality players, and he's not going to start every game.
Exactly. And look, ask the Leeds defenders, right? Who would you least like to play against on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock? And they'd all stick their hand up and say Jesus. And of course, I don't want to play against Jesus. So let's give them what they don't want. That would be my take, because he's a couple of weeks on. But like Art, if Mikel goes the other way, I wouldn't have any major objection to it.
No. All right, fair enough. 10 games to go. I've got a list of a run in here, but you know what? I don't really want to go through it, right? Win 8, draw 1 against Man City, lose another one, and, you know, it's all good. Trucker. This is going to get more difficult, by the way, talking about this without talking about what we're talking about. But anyway, we'll see how we go. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
We were a bit with the handbrake at time.
Ian Stone, Adrian Clark, Art de Roche here on Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast from The Athletic. It was a great photo posted the other day. I'm sure you saw it. Various of the people who were there posted it. Wrighty did, Ray Parler. It was just sort of legends dinner, really. Thierry Henry, Martin Keown, Patrick Vieira, Robert Pires, amongst others, Jens Lehmann as well. It's nice to see some of the Invincibles hanging out together, don't you think? I mean, Adrian, I don't know, it just feels right at the moment, doesn't it?
Definitely. I think it's just that bond has remained, hasn't it? It's 2 decades on nearly, but they're still pals. They've still got a WhatsApp group, I know that. That's how these things get arranged. Jeremy Aliadier, who works with us at Arsenal, he's part of that WhatsApp group. he was there as well. And I think he loves it. And he's saying, I mean, I think it started off as an Invincibles group, but then Wrighty and Lee Dixon just wanted to jump on the bandwagon. They were like,
oh. And why not? Why not?
Exactly.
They are legends at a club.
I want to hang out with you lot as well. So no, I think it's great that they have these regular get togethers, and they are quite regular, I think. And just kinship, isn't it? And they're just all Arsenal people through and through. That's what the club does to you.
Marvellous. And one other thing that I noticed, I was watching telly the other night, and it was a Nando's advert, and I believe Bukayo Saka suddenly turned round in amongst all these young people. Oh, I'm going to talk to you about this, right? Everyone's in Nando's. They're all young. They're all having a great time. And then suddenly there's Bukayo Saka. I didn't dream that, did I?
No, you definitely didn't. I actually had a Nando's before the Champions League game yesterday on Holloway Road. Sorry.
Yeah.
But obviously his nickname being Lil Chilli, it kind of fits. So, good on him. I hope he gets a decent, maybe not free Nando's, because that might not be
pay for his Nando's. Two, I'm not so sure it's the food of high performance.
Maybe for his family.
That's true. Get a black card. Yeah. Get a black card for his family, right? They can all get. By the way, if you live in a country where they don't have Nando's, and I'm not sure there are that many now, it's a chicken place, and it's pretty good, actually. Arsenal women 2, Bayern Munich women 0 last night. Were you both at this game? Aren't you at the game? Adrian, were you there?
No, I watched it on. I watched it at home.
Yeah, and I watched it at home as well. Arsenal go through 2-1 on aggregate. Considering they had 39 shots to 19 over the two legs, it was totally deserved, wasn't it? I mean, I've no idea how we didn't win the first leg, and I've no idea how we didn't win by more in the second leg.
Yeah, like you said, I feel like, again, that word feeling, after the first leg, there wasn't really a disappointment. It was more just a kind of, I guess, frustration that things didn't go their way because of how they played in that second half. And I think the main thing really taken away from that was, okay, take that performance, carry it into Spurs on the weekend, and then see if you can carry it into the second leg. And they absolutely did that.
Which they did.
And for, I guess, just the group in general, I think the belief you've been able to see it on the pitch from the Conti Cup final against Chelsea, again at the Allianz Arena, and last night at the Emirates. But what made it feel, I guess, more real yesterday was just how the people inside the Emirates responded. I mean, you had grown men balding, kind of jumping up in excitement when they were on attack. So I just don't think those are reactions that you can fake, really.
No.
And I think you just saw, I guess, the belief from the players was replicated by the fans in the stands. And it all kind of just came together at the right time. And it was really nice to see unfold.
Yeah, over 20,000 at the Emirates, Adrian. And a bit of needle as well, by the way. I noticed a couple of times there was... You know, this is serious stuff now, and it really felt that way.
Of course it is.
You say that, and of course it's always been that way, but with the crowd behind them as well, there were. I thought the referee, I don't know. She booked. Who came on?
Wuben Moi.
Briefly, Wuben Moi came on when Kim Little got injured, and she booked her with her first second. And it wasn't a booking, I don't think. I mean, it was a foul. It was one of those centre halves go through the back and have that on here, right? One of those challenges. But I wouldn't say a reducer, but, you know, it was certainly letting her know she was there. And she booked her, and I thought the referee... But in fact, what happened was I thought that a referee wound up the crowd, and I think that helped in a way.
No, I've been to a lot of women's games where the fans aren't massively engaged. It's sort of, you know, people are there having a chat amongst themselves watching. They don't always get fully behind the team in the way that you see it at Emirates Stadium for the Premier League matches. But yeah, this did feel different. That did convey over the television. And it's great. On the needle aspect, look, this team is strong. This team has got quite a lot of leaders in it. They're a very, very determined bunch of players. You've got Kim Little in there who takes no prisoners. I mean, Katie McCabe is such a big character that she will always get stuck in and have a little bit of aggro. If there's a scrap going on, she'll be the first to it, Katie. So, yeah, look, there are a number of players there that revel in that kind of environment. But I just thought it was a high-quality football match, really good standard. And some of the football that Arsenal produced was top draw.
Excellent.
And some good goals. I think both the goals were really excellent. Well, and
Frieder Marnham's goal was a hell of a shot.
Arsenal winning it high. They've given it away again. This is Frieder Marnham! What a finish from Frieder Marnham!
I mean, she just walloped it top corner. But I really liked the second goal. I liked the pressure that they kept building up. And they just kept at them, you know, and I thought that really showed them in a good light.
Definitely. Yeah, I think we just ground them down, didn't we? It was McCabe that sort of did a little feint and then she dug out the cross for Blackstenius. But yeah, the goal from Frieder Marnham was just a different level, wasn't it? Right in the postage stamp, absolute as top corner as you get. And I do think that Frieder Marnham now is a serious player at Champions League level. I think, you know, she's someone that's improved quite rapidly. And obviously in the absence of Mead and Miedemar, it was really important that Frieder Marnham did step up and delivered, because she is capable. She can play up front. She can play as a number 10. She can play in midfield. She can play out wide. But it's that power, that pace and that end product that she delivers. So we sort of got the three M's, Mead, Miedemar and Marnham a real, real high level forward players. And she showed up last night when the team needed her.
And our Leah Williamson talking about the goal. I mean, what did she say? Talking about Frieder Marnham's goal?
I think she said she was more surprised that she just took the shot, basically. But I think for that goal, I know everyone's going to rave about the shot. And it was an amazing shot. I was right like in front of it. And again, kind of just froze as it happened. But I feel like what actually led to the shot almost typifies what Jonas Eidevall's tried to do with this team since he took charge in 2021, where they basically press Bayern for about 30 seconds, or at least between 30 seconds and a minute. They forced them all the way back to their goalkeeper a couple of times, and they did this in the first leg, and then they just force a turnover really high, and then from there they're able to show why they're at Arsenal, because they're so technically sound, pop it around first touch, and then that happens. But I just feel like that kind of minute of play almost typified what Eidevall has been building towards. When you look at their first games in the Champions League under him, against Barcelona in the group stages and then Wolfsburg in the knockout stages last season, the gap was so far because they just physically weren't really used to doing what they're doing now. And what they're doing now is competing and being dominant with and without the ball against Europe's elite. And it's just been really kind of interesting to see that, I guess, growth over the past 18 months or so, because there's a lot that's gone behind it.
And let's not forget, Bayern unbeaten in something like 14 games, weren't they? They're letting four goals. I mean, this is an obdurate team, and we really piled on the pressure. By the way, do you know it? She's red, she's white, she loves a Vegemite. Caitlin Ford. Because I saw that last night and I thought, that might work. That might work. I also thought, by the way, Stina Blackstenius last night was a handful, Adrian. I mean, she really looked good. Great goal, really good header, but also the way she carried the ball forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think she is a handful. I think that's a good description. Really powerful, runs the channels superbly. I did a breakdown of the Tottenham game where we battered them 5-1, and her channel runs were a feature of that match. Scored a great goal, and in this game, yeah, she held the ball well and carried it up the pitch brilliantly, and yeah, look, I think opposition markers found it. find her difficult to contain because she's got good movement as well as those physical attributes. Where she falls short, in my opinion, compared maybe to a Miedemar or Mead or some of the other elite front players in the women's game, is the finesse. She doesn't really have a lot of finesse on her finish. It's sort of, a lot of it is power-based.
A battering ram, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if she can work on that side of her game, and I'm sure that they are working on that, and develop a little bit better finishing and different types of finish, then Arsenal got themselves a real proper striker. But yeah, she did great. And it was good movement for the goal, excellent header. And yeah, look, she's having to carry, you know, the weight of the team on her shoulders in the absence of the two injured players, of course.
Yeah, and moving forward, I mean, the WSL losing Kim Little, didn't look great the way she went off, and Katie McCabe, we hope she's all right as well. This could have consequences, Art, for the WSL title race, which is unbelievably tight.
Yeah, Jonas Eidevall said he was too early basically to give a timescale on either injury last night. You'd hope they'd just be, again, shortest time possible. But when you look at how they responded, this is something Leah Williamson mentioned after the game. They were very clear on what they had to do anyway without Kim Little being there. So they kind of just went up another gear, she said. There was a bit of an, I guess, injection. Whereas when Miedemar...
Sorry to interrupt you, but I noticed that Kim Little went off and they had to rearrange things, bring on Lottie Wubermoy, and then also, you know, Leah Williamson moving to midfield. And they stepped up their game instantly.
Definitely, yeah. And she compared it to when Miedemar went off against Juventus, and she said in that game, it almost kind of flattened them. Whereas I think that's, again, another instance where you see progress, tangible growth. And it's interesting because leading into the first leg against Bayern, Eidevall said basically he's getting to a point where he doesn't have to share as much information with the players because they're comfortable in what they're doing. And I think you really saw that last night, especially with how they reacted to the adversity of Little coming off injured. So all kind of good signs, but you again hope that they don't have to dig as deep as they did last night too often, because every player is going to be needed for the run-in. As you say, Man City on the weekend, international break, then Man United. So it's a big time.
Yeah, and the penultimate fixture is Chelsea away, and then their final game against Villa. Adrian, what an amazing couple of months this could be for the Arsenal.
Oh, it could be, yeah, it's staggeringly good for the team. It's going to be a 7-match season, really. That's what it comes down to in the WSL anyway. You know, a 4-team title race is just...
You don't see that very often, but you don't see that. By the way, a couple of other mentions from the game last night. Victoria Pavlova looks like a player. I love the way that she moves and her
control. I gave her star player. Yeah, I gave her star player in the match at Leighton Orient against Tottenham. I thought she was brilliant in that match.
And the other one,
received the ball. Yeah, just give it to me. I'll make something happen. Seems to be her mantra.
Yeah, in the final third as well, which is very, very impressive. It's surrounded by a lot of opposition players. And the other one was a clearance from Rafaela Souza in the second half, where it's a through ball. And I thought, oh, the Bayern player's ahead of her here. She's getting a one-on-one. And Souza just stuck out a leg and diverted it. I thought that was an excellent bit of defending. So, well done, the women. That was brilliant to watch. Semi-final in the Champions League coming up. All right, let's have a song before we all go home. Art, you're smiling. I'm coming to you first. What you got?
Producer Abby thought I was going to pick a song from this artist a few weeks ago, but I actually changed my mind last minute. So I'm going to go with Ice Spice, The Boy's a Liar, Part 2. And that's dedicated to Rodri after his whinging after losing to Scotland because it seemed like he wasn't very truthful after that. The boy's a liar, he doesn't see ya. You're not looking at me
Do you think he deliberately tried to novelty in the end Erdogan? Do you really believe it? I do.
What do you think?
In a way, I respect it.
he is a very big shithouse. I remember the game I mentioned before against City on New Year's Day last season. He made like 10,000 fouls, but wasn't booked until he scored and took his shirt off in the last minute. But yeah, I think the Erdogan one's pretty clear. I'm not sure about the Tierney one.
Yeah.
I just can't understand how that wasn't a penalty, by the way, for the Erdogan one. I mean, all right, whether he tried to foul him on Pep's orders or not, who knows, right? We wouldn't suggest something like that. I think he absolutely did, by the way. But anyway, but I can't believe it wasn't a penalty. I haven't seen the Tierney one.
The Tierney one just looked like a coincidence. It didn't look anything that serious.
Are there coincidences really though? Is that true?
Maybe he's just getting better at hiding it. Yeah.
yeah. Practice makes perfect. All right. And what have you got for us, Adrian, for a song?
I've got to dedicate today's song to Freedom Arnhem for that amazing finish. It was glorious. And I mentioned Mead and Miedemar and Marnham, the three M's, and it just made me think of M People, the band, obviously, and their most famous song is Moving On Up, and Arsenal women are moving on up in the Champions League, as are the club in general. So, yeah, M People, Moving On Up for me.
Yeah, okay. My choice is a little weird because the song is definitely not about football, all right? I'm just saying that right now. It's Push It by Salt and Pepper. I don't think
Moving On Up is about football. I think most of these songs are about football.
That is true, but push it real good, which is what I think the boys and the girls have to do over the next couple of months. So that's what I'm going for. That's it for Handbrake Off. We're back after Leeds on Monday. Thanks to Adrian. Thanks to and thanks to Abby, our producer. And thank you for listening. This has been Handbrake Off. I'm Ian Stone. Have a good weekend.